This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, which operates the Metro and Access bus systems, was able to balance its budget in 2018. But SORTA officials are warning that without a new funding structure, future deficits could lead to more significant cuts to transit service as soon as next year. SORTA has been working on reinventing Metro. That's a plan for making improvements should new sales tax funding be approved. Joining us to talk about Metro's financial state and the reinventing Metro plan are Metro CEO Dwight Farrell. Good afternoon, Dwight.
Thank you
for being here. And WCPO.com transportation reporter Pat LaFleur. Pat, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me.
And you can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let us know what improvements you think could be made in Metro. If you're not a Metro rider, why not? That would be the next question. So again, 513-419-7100. So Dwight, you're talking about if things don't change in how the funding structure is set up right now, you're talking about deficits going out years and years and years into the future. I mean, how much are we talking here?
For the next 10 years, $255 million operating in capital if we try to maintain the same level of service. That's the deficit that we have.
That's what you're facing, $255 million. And that's, when you're talking about operating capital, you're talking about running the bus system and then making improvements and adding new.
Right. So the operating aspect is how much it takes to run it year to year. And then the capital is to replace buses, upgrade facilities, and that sort of thing.
What's the state of the bus system right now as far as the fleet? How's that doing?
We have, as of the first of the year, almost a third of a fleet that exceeds the Federal Transportation Administration useful life of 12 years. So we have a little over 100 that are 13, 14 years or greater. And what's significant about that is the cost for every bus that's over 10 years is 133% more per unit to maintain than one that's less than 10 years. So as you can see, with a fleet that has that kind of age on it,
your maintenance costs are going
up. So that impacts the amount of service we can provide, because we're paying a lot to be able to maintain buses.
So how many routes is Metro running now at this point? And what was ridership like last year?
All total, 46 routes. That's local, some express, and our ridership, as we reported it to our board committee last week, was just a little over 14 million.
So you've had a decline in ridership, which is what's causing the drops in revenue. Why is ridership declining? What's happening?
Well, in 2008, when the economy cratered across the country, Metro started service reductions. And so over time, the service became less frequent. It doesn't run as early, doesn't run as late, nights and weekends and in the middle of the day. And so people make other choices. And so because it's not as frequent or as people would like to, or later or earlier, they make other choices. And we've seen this ridership decline.
If I could jump in, the drop in frequency had something to do with wanting to maintain the distance reach throughout the region, is that correct?
That is correct. The organization made a decision in 2008, 2009. It had a choice to do one of two things: shrink the footprint of the service and maintain frequency, or keep the service, the service area, but spread the service out. And that was the choice that was made. So that leads to less frequent service, as Pat talked about, and service is not as early or as late.
It had to be a tough decision.
That was before my time. But it either way, you're going to see a ridership drop in any scenario. So it was, at the time, people thought that was the best thing to do. I'm not going to second guess it. But where we are today, we're in this decline from roughly 22, 23 million trips in 2008 to the little over 14 we talked about. For 17.
And hence the big decline in revenue. How much do fares account for Metro's budget? What proportion do they make up?
Well, our board has just, for 2018, our goal is to have a 20% of our total revenues to come from fares. And our board has said that that is an objective that they want in future years, regardless of if we stayed on this funding model or certainly if we went to another funding model. So the objective is 20% from now on.
For someone who's not ridden Metro for a number of years or maybe hasn't ridden, what's the base cost of a ride?
Zone 1, which is for most of the service, is $1.75. And then it's, if you transfer, it's 50 cents. We have monthly passes that you get a discount if you buy a monthly pass. We also sell single ride tickets. So if you just want to buy some and store them, you can do that. And last year, we launched the Cincy Easy Ride app, which is an app you can download on your phone and buy your bus fare on that. And I'm happy to say that since we launched it in September of last year, we have 22,000 registered users for that app, which is a pretty significant amount.
And you can buy tank fare through the Cincy Easy Ride, correct?
You can buy tank fare. And then at all of the ticket vending machines in the system, the ones for the streetcar, and we have 4 other locations, you can also buy fare there. And then, of course, we have our ride store that's on Fifth Street that you can buy fare there. And we also have agreements with employers where we do employee pass sales and that sort of thing to try to make it easy as possible for people to be able to use the service.
We're talking with Metro CEO Dwight Farrell, and if you have any questions about the Reinventing Metro plan that's being worked on, give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dwight, this is the budget is balanced for 2018.
For 2018, yes.
What kind of steps did you have to take to get to that point?
Well, one of the things that we did for 2018 was we started to take a look at existing service and how we could modify it to make it more efficient. So we went through a process on some routes, and if you go to our website, go-metro.com, you can see the details, where in December we modified some routes to do a couple things. One, take some cost out, but secondly, increase ridership. So we did that on, I believe it was 4 routes. We have some express routes that we're going to start looking at now. We did that along with looking at our business processes to see where we could do some things differently in that regard. And over the 3 years that I've been here, we've done everything from made changes to healthcare, to our plan, and a number of other processes to be able to lower our operating expenses. And we have more that we're going to be doing for 18.
Pat, in covering transportation and covering Metro for WCPO.com, what are some of the challenges and some of the complaints that you hear about Metro?
Well, I think in my experience, users generally express frustration about reliability. And that's kind of a big umbrella term when you're talking about public transit, because it speaks to what Mr. Farrell has been talking about as far as frequency of service. But then again, there's also the simple fact that buses have to maneuver through auto traffic just like any other car would, and especially downtown, Cincinnati has a huge congestion problem right now. So you can have as many buses as you want, and you still might fall victim to service delays for the simple fact of traffic mm-hmm. in a heavily congested area. So I think what people want is a bus system that they can set their watch to and count on. And in a lot of ways, Metro is providing that very efficiently. You know, the study that came out of UC in, I think, 2015 found that among peer cities, Cincinnati's bus system is one of the most efficiently run in the country. But the design of our streets and paired with just the lack of a permanent source of funding, like Dwight's been talking about, kind of combined to create this really gnarly issue that transit users are facing.
Dwight, what are you hearing from customers?
The same thing. We do a survey every 3 years. It's mandated by the Federal Transit Administration, and the big issue is reliability. These are this survey was actually from riders, and the three things that were important to them was the reliability of the service, the frequency of the service, and it running later. Those were the 3 issues. And so as Pat talked about, there are a whole host of factors that impact reliability. But one of the things that we've tried to do with making our real-time information available through, you know, Transit app and others and some other things that we're looking at to even provide that even more in 18 is people want to know when it's going to come, much like when people use Uber or Lyft or something like that. If they can see that it's coming, even if it's not coming when they want to, that's a big deal. And so we're looking for ways in 2018 to be able to provide more easier access to that information so that customers can have comfort in knowing that the bus is coming, even if it's not coming when they thought it would.
Has Metro ever done a cost comparison of riding Metro daily versus owning a car? And the cost of gasoline and parking, and so that people can say, what would be the best economic choice for me?
Well, I can only speak for me. I made choices when I moved here to and I like cars, by the way. I want to say that. But I sold my car in 2016 and made the choice that I'm going to use all of the different modes that are out there, whether they be bus or ride-sharing services, bike or walk. I haven't done the bike thing yet. But what I have found for me, it has been incredibly cost-effective. Because when you look at the fact that whether you're buying your car or leasing it, the debt service, if you will, the depreciation, the insurance, fuel, et cetera, for a device that you might use 5% of the time that you own it. Taking the bus is a much more cost-effective way of doing things.
So right now the method of public funding for Metro is through the city income tax. Is that correct?
Yes. 0.3% of the city's earnings tax is dedicated to the transit fund, which is approximately 56% of our total funding.
Why does Metro see moving to a sales tax as a better option?
It's a broader base. We are, by creation, a countywide system. And then the broader base generates quite a bit more revenue in order for us to be able to provide service.
Now, do we have something definite in mind? Does SORTA and Metro, or do you have a certain amount that you're going to ask for? Or
no, that has not been decided yet. That hasn't been determined yet. But what we proposed to the board as the Reinventing Metro plan was different, what service would look like at different options, at basically a 0.5% sales tax. And then we went from that 0.1% increments up to 1%, so 0.6, 0.7, 0.8, and so forth.
That's all within the range that's allowed by state law, isn't it?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yeah. So at 0.5%, what happens?
0.5% means that we're sustainable. Basically, we have the ability to be able to operate the service level that we have right now and be able to replace buses like we need to, but that's it. So we don't have the ability to grow the service at all at 0.5%. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is all assuming that Metro doesn't get any of the earnings tax, that the earnings tax is the city decides
it's gone.
The city's decided what to do with it.
Okay.
It's gone from us.
It's gone from Metro.
It's gone from Metro,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that the city income tax would disappear, but it's gone from Metro.
It's gone from Metro, yes. I want to make sure that we're clear on that. I don't want any calls from Plum Street about
it. I think Mayor Cranley has also expressed in the past support for a countywide sales tax as a means of reducing city tax rates. Now, given what happened earlier this week at City Hall where they just raised the property taxes, I'm not sure how that plays out in Mayor Cranley's plan for this, but I know that he has spoken out in support of a sales tax if it meant he can somehow reduce city taxpayers' burden in some other place.
And this would be for a sales tax in Hamilton County.
Right? Hamilton County only.
Oh, okay. So if you go up to 0.6% or a little higher, what does the Reinventing Metro plan show could happen at that point?
Well, it's at 0.6%, where you start to see is more frequent service on about 9 routes or so. There's going to be some alignment changes. But one of the other things that's significant once you get to the 0.6 level is that there are 11 routes that we would extend hours on and 6 routes where we would actually have 24-hour service. We have 7 routes right now of the 46 that I mentioned earlier that carry 50% of our total ridership. 6 routes that carry 7 routes, I'm sorry, that carry 50% of the ridership. And so by providing 24-hour service on those routes, it presents a wonderful opportunity for connectivity to jobs that are across the river in northern Kentucky. So the jobs at DHL, the jobs that happen to be at FedEx or Amazon Air or what have you, are now opened up around the clock if we can provide this service. Because then that gives Tank an opportunity to be able to bring people home whenever they happen to get off, and then we would then be able to take them home from here.
So how much community input's gone into shaping this reinventing Metro plan?
My gosh, quite a bit. We've done everything from bus rides. I do a bus ride a couple, 3 times a month to get feedback from folks. I've taken board members on them. I've invited council members on them, and so we're doing that. We've had community groups, neighborhood associations, business associations, not to mention the conversations with stakeholders, the business community, county officials, state officials, federal officials. I mean, we've run the gamut in terms of what these opportunities are. And what we do know is that an increase in funding for transit creates incredible economic development opportunities for this region in terms of attracting talent. And so as we have done outreach, even talking to what other cities are doing, those that have invested in transit, we had a great conversation with folks from Indianapolis, for example, and the mayor who was there at the time was a conservative mayor of Indianapolis when they passed their levy. And basically what he said was it was about talent. It was about attracting jobs. And that's what it is. So if we want to try to attract the Amazons of the world or whoever, we've got to have a robust transit system that allows that. And I want to say this to be straight. What we're talking about with the Reinventing Metro plan is about the current rider and the future rider. The future rider is a concept that a lot of people have a difficult time kind of grasping, but that's exactly what we're talking about. The people who will be in Cincinnati 5, 10, 20 years from now have a very different approach and thought about transit than perhaps people who are in my generation.
Still opportunities for people to give input?
Absolutely.
For Reinventing Metro?
Absolutely.
How do they do that?
Well, we have a survey that we're doing right now at go-metro.com. If you want to see details about our plan, you can do the go-metro.com and look for Reinventing Metro. And so certainly you have lots of opportunities to be able to do that. And there's going to be more.
How soon before we know how much the sales tax issue might be and when it's going to be on the ballot?
My guess is that it will be before the 1st of June.
When budget season starts.
Yes.
Dwight, thank you for joining me today. And Pat, thank you too.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark, for having us.
Metro CEO Dwight Farrell and WCPO.com transportation reporter Pat LaFleur.